All right, well, turn to your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 11 and give you a little something here that just actually just came to mind on this subject. You know, when we read the proverb for the day, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 11, but you're going to find during this little study tonight that we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 22. Today is October the 22nd, so Proverbs 22 is the proverb for today, and I read that, and there's a verse in there that caught my attention, and it normally does when I read it. And I thought, you know, I've never preached on this subject tonight the way that I'm going to preach on it, and it's very interesting. It was a Bible study for me, and it showed me something, taught me something about this particular subject. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." So in verse 24, he basically says that the Lord's method for increasing is to scatter, and that if a person withholds more than his meat, that tends to poverty. And then he speaks about the liberal soul in verse 25. And tonight, what we'd like to look at for our edification, for our understanding, is the components of giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunity to look in the Scripture and see what it says. I'm very interested in what you showed me tonight, Father, and I pray that these will be interested as well to see something about this particular doctrine that is of great interest. And I pray, Father, that you'll teach us with it and help us with it as we study tonight, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, those who give and never have to be reminded to give, and those who give and never have to be persuaded or pressured to give, possess some basic components of giving. And tonight, that's what we're going to look at. I noticed that in a lot of churches, because the money is very needful for building their buildings or giving to their programs or doing whatever they want to do, there comes a time when there's a lot of pressure or a lot of manipulation or a lot of intimidation that's involved, and I don't like it. But I noticed in looking in the Scripture that there are certain components of giving that are in people, they're in the Scripture, but they're in people who never have to be reminded about that, never even have to be persuaded or pressured about it. Here they are. First of all, there is a liberal soul. You saw it here in the Scripture in verse 25, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and that he that watereth should be watered also himself." Notice, that's a long way from the pocketbook, and that's a long way from the checkbook. That has to do with the very nature of the man. He is a liberal, or she is a liberal soul. Let me give an example of what that looks like in the New Testament. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, very common when you speak about giving. We'll certainly be in this chapter tonight. But notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible is talking about the Macedonians. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Okay? Now notice about them. Okay? The Bible says in verse 5, "This they did." They gave abundantly, but "this they did, not as we hoped," but watch it, "but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You see, it dealt with them personally and not with a possession they owned. It dealt with who they are. They are a liberal soul. All right? And they did this. They gave themselves unto the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So it was something they understood about the Lord and about themselves from the beginning. We understand God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We get saved. We understand that we get saved by a gift, and it changes our nature of one that's not selfish to one that is giving. It affects the soul like it did these folks. The next thing we notice, the next component we notice, is found in Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Now in Exodus chapter 35, what's taking place is that there are gifts that are given to build the tabernacle. Okay? And look in verse 4 and 5, Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, shittim wood, and oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, for the sweet incense, and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. Every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle and everything else that goes in there. All right, verse 20. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, watch it, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. Notice, everyone whom his spirit made willing. So the first component is a liberal soul. The second component is a willing spirit. A willing spirit. You see, giving, the way that it's treated today, it seems to be a very carnal thing, a very material thing, right? But truly, giving is a spiritual sacrifice. It is a spiritual exercise on the part of believers that is pleasing to God, and it is prompted in us by the Spirit of God. Unfortunately, what we see oftentimes, it's prompted by the preacher. And the slicker he is, the more he gets. And it shouldn't be that way. It ought to be something the Spirit of God is doing. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. It deals with the man's soul. That should be liberal. And it deals with the man's, I say man's, man or woman's spirit. That should be willing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, notice in verse 5, that ye also as lively stones. In other words, Jesus Christ in verse 4 is the living stone. You see that. And ye also, as lively stones, are built up, what kind of house? A spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up what kind of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we are a spiritual house here. Us, we are. And we offer spiritual sacrifices. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and you'll see what those spiritual sacrifices are. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, let's look at the spiritual sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's the first spiritual sacrifice. That is, when we get together as a church and we sing in congregational singing, have special music, that time of praising God together is a spiritual sacrifice. So it ought to be done well. All right, at home when you wake up in the morning and the Bible says rejoice evermore and you feel like you're dragging lead, hard to rejoice evermore, it's a real sacrifice to praise God. See? Secondly, he says, the praise God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Thanksgiving is a spiritual sacrifice. He says, in everything give thanks. He says, be thankful for all things. That's not fun sometimes. I mean, there's things that go on in your life that are afflicting. There are things that go on in your life that are persecuting and reproachful. There are things that go on in your life that hurt. There are things that go on in life that scare you. And the Lord said, in everything give thanks. That's why it's a sacrifice. And it is spiritual, because when a person can thank the Lord in a time like that, you take Hannah, for instance. I've got a sermon that I'm doing on the radio on Hannah and her adversary who was Peninnah, her the wife-in-law. You know, anyway, she's being provoked to fret against the Lord. And when Eli tells her, you know, go in peace, and the Lord give thee, and you know, thy petition. She, you know what she does? She accepts that. She believes that. She goes ahead and eats, and she is not sad anymore. And she still doesn't have the baby. She hadn't even conceived yet, and yet she's thankful. And that's why it is a sacrifice. Then notice, But to do good, that's a sacrifice. Because sometimes you don't feel like doing good. Particularly if it's directed toward a person that you don't want to do it for. And then he says, and to communicate, forget not. Now that word communicate, it doesn't mean you and I, gee-ing and hawing and rapping. Hey buddy, how's it going? That's a real sacrifice. No. If you read in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says about the Philippians that they communicated with him as concerns giving and receiving. It's giving. And those are spiritual sacrifices. So giving, a component of giving is that it requires a willing spirit because ultimately it should be a spiritual sacrifice. You know, I think about this sometimes when people have to be manipulated and pressured about money. I think God's not in that. Okay? And as a result, what happens is that money that you talked out of, I'm not sure how that even looks at the judgment seat of Christ. Because it's a spiritual thing. And it ought to be prompted and motivated by the Spirit of God. From a liberal soul. Here's another thing. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I know you, and I know that you know this chapter well enough, so I skipped over an important part. I will never read it to you now in verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Watch it. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That doesn't even make sense. Okay? They got poor and they had great joy and that poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Now jump down to verse 12. Actually, verses 11 and 12. Now therefore, he says, the Corinthians were being provoked now to give. They were ready to give the year before, hadn't done it. So Paul is saying, look how the Macedonians did it, and I want you guys to do that. So he says in verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will. See that? A readiness to will. So there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now jump over to verse 19, and notice what he says, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your, what kind of mind? Ready mind. He said in verse 11, a readiness to will, and in verse 19, a ready mind. He also called it a willing mind, but we've already used the word willing about a willing spirit. So the other mind, the other word is a ready mind, a ready mind. A ready mind is a mind that's ready, okay? And it is something that also deals with your head. In other words, giving that is a spiritual sacrifice and that comes from a liberal soul ought to make sense. It ought to make sense. Well, I said over here when the Macedonians did what they did that didn't seem to make sense. But you know the thing is, the poor saints they were trying to help back in Jerusalem had it worse even than they did in Macedonia. And that made sense. In other words, you and I should be convinced that when we give, this is something that the Lord wants us to do and that we've not been intimidated or manipulated into it. Because if you have to be intimidated or you have to be manipulated by somebody into giving, you know what that's going to cause? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Here's what it's going to cause. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity. That kind of pressure yields a grudge. It yields a necessity. It yields something that's artificial, I think. And so the ready mind is a mind that says, Lord, I see how you're directing me into this. Now, there are times in our lives, you may be in the same situation. There have been times in our lives where what we knew to give, what we wanted to give, both, was really going to leave us with virtually nothing. But the person to whom it was going was negative, particularly as it concerns something like missions. And you know what? We never missed it. We never missed it. What it is is there was not a resistance when there was the work of the Spirit of God. The mind is ready to follow what the Spirit of God is leading your heart to do. That's the point. Okay? Then notice, you're already in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and you read verse 7, read verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So the next thing is a purposeful heart. A purposeful heart. All right, see, when the Spirit is willing, what happened to the disciples when they were praying, Peter, James, and John with Jesus Christ? They fell asleep. And what was the problem? Weak flesh. And the Lord said, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So as you start coming from a liberal soul, Lord, I want to give, and a willing spirit, the Spirit of God is prompting me with a generous impulse, and my mind is ready to respond. The heart purposes the giving for this simple reason: the flesh is weak. And what a purposeful heart is, if you look up the word to purpose, or he says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. So that's a verb. The word means to resolve to do something, or to be determined to do something. So a purposeful heart is a heart that's resolved. A purposeful heart is a heart that is full of determination and guided by a definite aim. So when you consider the Macedonians who gave in their deep poverty, what happened is they said, however they came to this decision, I have no idea, those guys down there in Jerusalem need some help. We ought to send them some money. And so they got together and said, this is what we need to do. And then all of a sudden, boom, this great trial of affliction came in. They said, yeah, but we're purposed in our heart. We still want to do this. And so what God gave them during that process was an abundance of joy and liberality, where the Lord allowed them to be able to do what they purposed in their heart. The beauty of a purposed heart is one that's committed. It reminds me of what Pastor Keck said to the men when we had our men's fellowship out here during the missions conference. He said, a call will get you to the field. A burden will get you to the field. But neither one of those will keep you there. A commitment is what keeps you there. And when you purpose in your heart, you say, Lord, this is what I want to do. You may hit, like I have, on situations in your life where you're like, whoa, I don't know how I can keep this up. But because your soul is liberal, and because your spirit is willing and your mind is ready and your heart has purposed, you do it anyway. And what happens is God, like he did for the Macedonians, blesses it. Not because somebody talked you out of it, but because that's something God was doing in your life. You see, it made sense when you decided to do so with a ready mind, and that purposed heart is what allows you to continue to do that. I look at the condition that missions are in today, and I look at those prayer letters and those prayer requests we read. I'm so delighted. Randy in a minute is going to give you a report on just a few of the notes we've gotten back already of the missionaries that are already thanking us about some of what we've done. I pray this church never loses that ability and desire to help those guys. You know why? They need it more than we do. You see? And when you purpose in your heart, this is what you want to do, I'm doing that because I'm determined that we're going to keep this going. We may hit on some harder times. People project that and so forth. I don't know what to make of all that. They don't have a crystal ball, and neither do I. But, man, I don't want ever to lose that zeal. It pains me when I hear from missionaries in their letters, well, things are a little bit rougher now. Tommy Tillman's letter, 5 churches that support us have closed. And we've got all this work that we're doing with these kids and with these orphanages, and we're praying that God will continue to make up the need. Wow, some of us better be purposed in our heart that that's the thing we want to do, because the demand is going to fall more upon us. All right, it takes a couple of other things. Actually, just a few other that we want to look at. Proverbs 22, I told you we were going to get there. That was the proverb for today. Proverbs chapter 22. See, it's all very spiritual when you look at it. Proverbs chapter 22, look at this. He that hath a bountiful, verse 9, Proverbs 22, verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. So, this bountiful eye is an eye that is tuned in to spot a need so you can meet it. You pass by it, so do I, all the time. A place where we could, because we don't see it, where we could meet a need, because we just don't see the need. But you know, if your eye is bountiful, basically what that means is the pocket is bulging in to some degree. I'm just looking for a place where I can be a help. You know, when we were up preaching in Idaho, during that little preacher's conference, I heard 11 sermons and preached 4. So there were at least 15 preachers there, maybe more. Not all of them got to preach. And the host pastor, Brother Haveman, gave each of us a book called Fearless by Eric Blem. It's a story about a Navy SEAL. One of the remarkable things about this guy, when he was in Afghanistan, winter began to set in. Of course, they have all their winter gear. These Afghan kids were out there and they were running around barefoot, and he got to looking at those feet and he was thinking, man, we got to do something about this. Bountiful eye. He got in touch with his wife and with his parents, and they got in touch with their church and some friends, and got together 500 pairs of shoes, set those over there, and he distributed those to all those little kids over there. And the reason he did that, he said, we're over here killing some Afghan and some Taliban. We want these kids to know we are here for them to make this a better place, because they're hearing all kinds of other things, and they have a need. And we need to meet this need because nobody else is taking care of it. The country's so impoverished. So these kids are all running around with tennis shoes, you know, Nikes and whatnot. And their feet are warm. You know what that came? A bountiful eye. Somebody saw the need and said, we need to reply to that. That's good. Don't ever lose that eye. Always be on the lookout how you can be a blessing to somebody else. And then this, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. You know, that's Acts chapter 20. That's T-W-I-N-N-E-Y. Isn't that how you say it? Not 20, we say 20. 20, 21, 22. T-W-I-N-N-E-Y, 20. I thought I'd just throw that in there. Hit nothing. I didn't hit the funny bone, that's for sure. Want people to be in a sour mood, just talk about money, right? No. Acts chapter 20, verses 34 and 35, Paul says to the elders of Ephesus that have gathered, he says, yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now notice, ye, verse 34, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. He was paying his bills and those that were traveling with him. Those are ministering hands. Ministering hands. You know, the Bible says the reason that you labor is that your mouth craveth it of you. All right, but that's kind of a dead-end proposition. You work, eat, work, eat, work, eat. Paul said ministering hands labor not only to feed your mouth, but also to meet the necessities of others. Changes your whole outlook on the work that you're doing because you realize these hands that are laboring are ministering on behalf of others that have a need that is met by what these hands produce, which is a tremendous thing. Ministering hands. Do you see how this has worked from the inside out? It starts with the liberal soul. Then it goes to the willing spirit. And then it goes to the ready mind, and then it goes to the purposeful heart, and then it comes out to the bountiful eye, and it's followed by the ministering hands. The way this thing is always approached, men start preaching right at the pocketbook. We haven't even mentioned it. They start preaching right at the checkbook. One preacher said, let's see, we need God's book. We need the judgment book, something like that. And we need the pocketbook. No, I'll tell you what, it's about the man, it's about the woman, it's about the mind, it's about the spirit, it's about the heart, it's about the soul, it's about the eye, and it's about these hands. I am not providing, I am not working to see how much I can build up for myself, see? Putting it out there to see how I can minister with the hands. That's how you work as unto the Lord. It's a ministry. People say, I don't know what I'm supposed to be able to do in the church. There's a ministry right there with the very hands that you used in the labor that you have when the soul and spirit and heart and mind are dedicated toward giving to the Lord. Last thing. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Most important of all these things, more important than anything we've ever looked at tonight, is this thing finally. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So, Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Begin reading with me in verse 10. Lots of things have been offered and dedicated to the construction of the temple. Solomon is going to build that temple. David was not allowed to build it, but boy, he made all the preparations that he possibly could. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we're strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. There's none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. What it takes more than it takes all those other things is a munificent God. You say, what does that mean? Well, look it up. It means a God that is very liberal and very generous and very willing to give. That's our God, a munificent God. That's our God. He's characterized by great liberality and generosity. You know something? You and I tonight would have nothing to talk about, and we would have nothing to give if it weren't for God. Period. He is the source of all supply. He is the source of all giving, and we have nothing but Him about which we can boast, because it all comes from Him. You know, one of the things that I've detest is the, you know, this is how much our faith promise was, this is how much we gave. The reason I don't like that is that's all about the men. And giving is all about the God. That's who it is. That's how it happens. You see all this around here? God did this. Amen. And don't ever forget it. And He did it because He is bountiful and He is generous, and He's going to continue to get honor and glory for it, because we know where it came from and we know where it comes from. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Father, we're thankful tonight to be able to see these things. These are truly the components of giving, and they're very spiritual and they're very godly, and we're very thankful to see these things. We love you for showing us these things, and we ask you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us always keep these things in perspective and to follow your lead, follow your Holy Spirit, follow what you're doing in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. So, Lord, we can do these things to your glory. We are very, very thankful, Father. Your provisions in our lives are abundant. Your provisions in this church are abundant, and we are exceedingly thankful for all that you do. We pray, Lord, for these folks here in this church, that you will continue to give us the opportunity and the ability to help folks here and help folks abroad as we spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, following your provisions and your will. Continue to give us wisdom to work within those provisions, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.